All right, I want to welcome everybody here to the master's class here at Summit Church. And we are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. We're going to be talking about the problem of pride. The problem of pride. Okay, now we've been working our way through the book of Proverbs here for quite a while. And it looks like we're going to be here for about another 500 years because there's just so much in the book of Proverbs, right? Well, you know, I guess that's okay because if the rapture comes first, then we really will have 500 years to finish this study upright and really learn what God has to say to us. Amen? Amen? Well, you guys come to my class after the rapture and we get up there? No, you think there'll be a better teacher up there? Yeah, probably will be. I probably won't be teaching when I get up there, but that's okay. All right, now, in our lesson over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be speaking about the problem of pride. Now, the scripture that we're going to read today is really about six things that the Lord hates, and these are some... They're really familiar verses, but they're verses that most people don't want to teach very much, okay? And most people don't want to hear. But we're going to camp on these three or four verses here for a few weeks because we're going to talk about these items. And the scripture we're going to read today is really about six things that the Lord hates. And right at the top of that list, the number one thing that the Lord hates is pride. Now, so with that said, let me start by asking this group of questions. Everybody look up here at me and pay attention to the question. How many of you have any difficulty with the problem of pride? Show me your hands. Lift your hands. Show me your hands. I thank you for being honest with me and so forth. Now, I'm going to be speaking to you all here today, but that's not the group that I'm going to be speaking to primarily. You know, I'll be speaking primarily to all the ones in this room and that were listening to my voice that didn't raise their hand. Those are the ones that I'm going to be speaking primarily to here today, to those who don't believe they have a problem with pride. Okay? And so, we're going to start off with our... Yeah. You think you're going to raise your hand now? Yeah. All right. Chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 are our focus verses for today. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look right there. Look right there. Right at the top of the list. A proud look. A lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, the very first thing you need to notice here, there's a lot of sins that we think are really important and really bad in this world, and they're not on this list. Okay? And I'm not saying those aren't sins and they're not important sins, and there's other places in the Bible where God talks about a lot of these things. But we get our priorities wrong when we start thinking about sin an awful lot, okay? When we start thinking about what kind of people we let teach, when we start talking about people that we allow to lead the church and be in leadership positions, you know, there are some sins that we just say you can't do and be in those positions, but there are other sins that are right here on this list that people commit all the time. And so, you know, and I'm getting off script right there already, so I better get back on script here. I'll be getting myself out in all kinds of trouble. But anyway, I just want everybody to understand that sometimes our priorities about what's sin and what's not sin, what's a big sin, is not what God thinks about sin. And so that's a lesson we've all got to learn, and we'll get to that over the next three or four weeks here as we look at this. So I'm going to start off by saying that we all, every single one of us, every mother's child in this building, and every one of you is a mother's child, right? Yeah, okay. You didn't get created in some other way. You weren't hatched by an egg or anything like that, right? I mean, you didn't just show up. You're a mother's child. Well, if you're a mother's child in this building, or even listening to the sound of my voice, every one of you wrestle with pride. And pride is a dangerous sin. Now, I don't know of anything that is doing more to hold back revival, doing more to ruin and damn our nation, doing more to break up homes, doing more to blast lives apart, doing more to steal power from Christians, doing more to populate and fill that place called hell than the sin called pride. Now, it is a damaging, destroying sin, but it is also such a deceptive sin. Now, the people who are proudest are the least likely ones to admit that they don't need to hear a lesson on pride. Right? And so, they're the proudest ones of the fact that they're not proud. And they'll say, well, my goodness, if there's one thing I don't need to hear a lesson on, it's pride. I don't need to hear one of them, Brother Keith. As a matter of fact, they're quite proud of their humility. Yeah, there you go. And many of us have pride that is well hidden, but it is right there. It is right there. One man said to another man as they were talking, well, at least there's one thing that I don't have any difficulty with, and it's the sin of pride. And the friend said, well, why should you have any difficulty with pride? You don't have anything to be proud of. And the guy looked at him and said, oh, well, I have as much to be proud of as you do. Well, yeah, you see, all that pride is there and it's incipient in us and all of us. You know, what a deceitful sin pride is. But now, we need to understand what pride is not. Because today, we call many things pride. And we use the word pride to describe things that are really not pride, at least not what the Bible is condemning. For example, a good self-image is not pride. Self-esteem is not pride. As a matter of fact, you need a good self-image. You need self-esteem. You ought to have it because when you understand who you are in Christ, you're going to understand that God gives you a good self-image. And the grace of God exalts a man without inflating him, and it debases a man without humiliating him. And so pride is not having a good self-image. Everybody understand that? All right. And then pride is not in receiving honors. You know, when an athlete wins a gold medal at the Olympics, they're not necessarily proud in the bad sense of the word. If they receive that medal and have a sense of gratefulness and a sense of achievement, then that's not the kind of pride that the Bible is condemning. As we're going to see in a moment what the Bible does condemn, but as a matter of fact, the Bible speaks of giving honor to whom honor is due. Romans 13:7 says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now, when the Bible says that we're to honor someone, then certainly it's not a sin to receive honor. For example, the Bible teaches husbands that we are to honor our wives. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so when the man says to the wife, honey, I'm proud of you. And if he means that in a sense, I'm giving you honor as God tells you to give, then that's just fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It can mean, actually, it can mean a lot to a woman when she knows that her husband honors her and is proud to have her as his wife. It really can. And you should let your wife know that you're proud to have her as your wife. Now, I'm going to be equal treatment here today, ladies. The Bible also says that a wife is to reverence her husband. Ephesians 5:33 says, now he's going to pick on the husband for a little bit here in the first of this, a little bit more. says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." And boy, isn't that true. You ought to be loving your wife as you love yourself. And then it gets to the wife. And the wife see that she reverences her husband. Now, this means that it would be all right for the wife to say to her husband, "Honey, I'm proud of you." And actually, that's what most of us men need. Because a woman is to a man what wind is to a fire. She can fan it up or she can blow it out. And we need you as wives to encourage us as husbands. And God gave you to us. So it's all right to encourage people. And sometimes as a parent, we need to say to our children, "I am proud of you." Our children need that from their parents. They need a pat on the back and encouragement and to let them know that we are grateful for them. You know, I heard about a couple that had been married for about 60 years. And they were sitting around in front of a fire. And the husband looks over at her and he had sort of a romantic twinge. Okay? And she was hard of hearing because of the years. But he said, "I'm proud of you." And she says, "Eh?" And he said, "I'm proud of you." And she says, "Eh?" And he said, "I'm proud of you." And she said, "Yeah, and I'm tired of you too." Yeah. So all of this is to say that it's all right if you are proud of someone and you want to tell them that you are. You know, when the Bible uses the term pride, it also does not condemn doing a job well. You ought to do your work with pride. If you're sweeping the floor, you ought to sweep the corners. You know, there's nothing wrong also with when you're dressing to dress nicely. You're not humble because you go around looking like an unmade bed. That's not a sign of humility. That's just plain sloppiness, right? And we're certainly to take a certain amount of what the world calls pride in the way that we work, in the way that we dress, and in the way that we do our job. I am firmly convinced that as Christians, people who employ us ought to look at us, see the type of work that we do, the work commitment that we have, and say, "Boy, I wished I had 100 more employees just like that Christian that works for me." And so there is a good, healthy self-respect that not only does the Bible not condemn, the Bible literally encourages it. And so I want you to understand, when I'm talking about pride, I'm not talking about self-respect. I'm not talking about pride in how you work and dress, and I'm not talking about giving or receiving honor when that honor is due to be given or honor is due to be received. All right then, if that is not the type of pride that God hates, then what is the pride that the Bible condemns so much? Well, number one, it is an attitude of independence from God. It is saying, "God, I don't need you. I can do it myself." Whew. Boy, howdy. I almost have to stand aside and wait for the lightning to strike when I hear somebody say something like that, right? But this attitude of independence from God is what the Bible calls pride. You know, there was a man that wrote in a poem, "I am the captain of my soul, and I am the master of my fate." Now, when I hear people say things like that, I feel like saying, "Well, captain, your ship is about to sink." Now, but there are many who feel that they are self-sufficient without God. And that self-sufficiency, that spirit of independence apart from God, is what the Bible calls pride. And that independence results in a sense of ingratitude, which is also one of the facets of pride. When a person has an ungrateful spirit, then that individual is proud because he does not acknowledge that God is the one who has given him all that he has. Not just some, everything that you have is a blessing from God. And the Bible calls this attitude of independence and this attitude of ungratefulness pride. And it causes us, therefore, to measure ourselves by one another and to esteem ourselves as better than someone else. Now, all of this is a matter of pride. Okay, I can see it in your eyes right now. I can see it on your faces. You're saying, you see, Brother Keith, I told you that I'm not one of those, so I don't have a problem with pride. I'm not doing anything that you just said. Okay, let's just see if we can narrow the focus a little bit and get into one of my famous tests to see if you have pride in your heart or some indications for pride to see whether or not that's true or not. So let me ask you a few questions. Now pay attention. Does it irritate you when somebody corrects you for your fault? Now, you go ahead and nod your head because it's true, okay? You see, what's happening with pride, it's speaking to you behind your ear. Don't nod. Don't nod your head now. Don't let anybody know that it irritates you when somebody corrects you for your mistake. Yeah, well, I understand. Well, let me ask you another question. Do you find yourself accepting praise sometimes for things over which you have no control? That is, for natural abilities and natural gifts and things that God has given you and things that God has bestowed upon you, and you receive that praise unto yourself rather than acknowledging the God who gave you that ability and then passing that praise on up to God. If you do, then you're proud. Here's another question. Are you an individual who, when he does make a mistake, always has an alibi, always has an excuse, always justifies that mistake and excuses that mistake? Well, that's a form of pride if you do that. And another example is when somebody wrongs you or somebody does something that you don't like, do you ever say, well, I can get along without that individual? I don't need him. That sense of self-sufficiency that you have, not needing, not wanting the other brother, do you recognize that as pride? And how about, do you find it difficult to seek counsel? Ooh, here's a big one. To ask somebody else for advice. Are you the type of individual who doesn't even like to stop and ask someone for directions when you're going someplace? Or are you someone who doesn't want to read the instructions on how to put something together or operate it? Do you say something like, I just want to figure it out all by myself? If that's true of you, then that's a form of pride. Now, do you have an ungrateful spirit, not accepting graciously what God has given you, or perhaps grumbling for what God has not given to you? You look over there at somebody else and say, God sure has blessed that person. Why hadn't he blessed me? I want those same things. As though something is owed to you. You ever feel like something's owed to you? Well, that's pride. And for example, if you get a paycheck or a pension payment or a Social Security check, do you consider that money yours because you earned it, because you paid into it, and you're just getting your money back? Or is it God's money that He is blessing you with? Now, many people fail to tithe and give offerings unto the Lord because they have an ungrateful spirit for what God has given them. And that's what the Bible calls pride. Is your life a life that is marked by a sense of competition? And you measure your success by victory over other people. See this a lot in the corporate world. You see it a whole lot in the business world, right? It's stepping on other people to climb the ladder, right? But that's also in the personal world, right? Keeping up with the Joneses is a pretty good example of that, right? So, you see, pride is not just simply wanting more for yourself. It is wanting more than somebody else has. And it has this sense of competition, which shows that we think that somehow we really deserve more or are better than someone else in any way. Now, all of these things are indications of what I'm talking about. That spirit of independence from God, that spirit of a lack of gratefulness, that spirit of competition that causes us to think of ourselves as somehow better than somebody else. It is a spirit that God hates. And I want to talk to you today about the problem of pride. And I want us to look here in the book of Proverbs, and I want us to find five things in the book of Proverbs that pride does. And then I want us to see how we can deal with this matter of pride. You see, I've just been getting warmed up. I haven't got the lesson yet. And so I'm getting ready to get down deep in the weeds. And it's going to take me a couple of weeks to get through this, but you guys just be patient. We're going to take care of the problem of pride, all right? Or at least we're going to talk about it and illustrate it. But first thing I want to talk about is pride provokes deity. Pride provokes deity. So the very first thing that pride does is pride angers God. Pride angers God. Let that sink in. It angers God. Go back to verses 16 and 17. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Now, I'm going to stop with the words a proud look, but don't you worry. We're going to get to the rest of that verse here in a couple of weeks, okay? You're not going to get missing out on language or words that are in the book of Proverbs on these six things. But I want you to notice that the very first thing that angers God is a proud look. Now think about that for a second. According to this, you can sin by the very way that you look. That means that just some people can strut while they're just sitting there. Okay, have you ever seen somebody just strutting while they're sitting there, having that look on their face while they're doing something? That just means a proud look, and God hates it. But that's not all. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination. You know, we talk about abomination a lot when we talk about things like homosexuality. It's an abomination to God. But look right here. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That is strong language. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So make sure you see what this says. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And it means that God hates it. It is abominable to God. Okay, well, why is that? Why does God have this great antipathy, this hatred, this abomination of pride? It is because of what pride does. Did you know that if there had been no pride, there would have been no devil? You know, if it was pride that made the devil the devil. The devil, to begin with, was the most glorious being that God had ever created. Ezekiel 28:12 says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, what God is describing here is the creation he called Lucifer when he was full of wisdom and beauty. He sealed up the sum. And God had never made anyone more exquisitely beautiful than Lucifer. He had never made anybody more wise and more powerful than Lucifer, who was the son of the morning. Now, his name Lucifer actually means light bearer. And the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that he was perfect in all of the ways until iniquity was found in him. Ezekiel 28:15 says, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. And that iniquity that was found was pride. And we know this is true because the Bible says in 1 Timothy, concerning a brand new preacher or someone who would like to be a preacher, don't let him be a novice. That is, a newcomer or someone without experience, someone who is not mature, and this is in 1 Timothy 3:6, because if you do, he may be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. They name it right there. A novice preacher will fall into the same trap that the devil fell into. So that's the same thing that may happen to him that happened to the devil. And it was pride that made the devil the devil. It was pride that corrupted the most glorious creature that God ever created, the devil. Now, not only was it pride that made the devil, it was pride that ruined the human race. What was the bait on the hook that the devil used when he seduced Adam and Eve? It was this: you will be like God. Genesis 3:5 says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now think about it. Adam and Eve would not have done this just for a bite of a piece of fruit. By the way, let me ask you a question. What kind of fruit was it? What was it an apple? Because that's what all the movies say. Yeah, was it an apple? Well, surely if the movies have it, it's got to be true, right? Yeah, no? No? We don't know what kind of fruit it was. I just thought I'd ask, just to see what kind of reaction I'd get. All kinds. Yeah, it could be anything. It could have been something we don't even have on this earth anymore. Well, likely was, and we'll have it again one day. What usually grows on trees? What kind of fruits? All kinds. I mean, but like I said, it doesn't have to be anything we know today. It had to be more than tantalizing taste of some kind of a particular fruit to draw them into this. And you see, that's what happens when I get off track. I start asking questions. I lose track of what I was saying. So I need to get back to my notes and stick with them, right? Okay. All right. So behind that was this tremendous pull, this tremendous pressure. And Satan appealed to them and put pride in their heart by saying, "You can be like God." And it was pride, therefore, that ruined the race. And because of that, it was pride that brought sin into the world. And as a result, every rape, every murder, every bit of pillage, every bit of dishonesty, every bit of cruelty, every bit of perversion, all suffering, all sorrow, all sin, you can say this about it: pride did that. Now think about it. If there was no pride, then there would be no devil. No devil, no fall. No fall, no sin. All rooted in pride. And this is the reason the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him, and the number one on the list is a proud look." Because all of the other six come out of the first one. They all come out of the first one. They all come out of pride. Pride leads the parade. It is the basic sin. It is the sin that leads to all other sins. It is the sin of independence against God. It is wrapped up in not believing God. But then why do we not believe God? Because we think we have a better way, right? Why don't you do what God tells you to do? Because you think you have a better way, which is indeed pride. Indeed pride. And so the very first thing I want you to see is that pride provokes deity. You provoke God to anger when there is pride in your heart. And it's not just that God will not help you. Listen to this. God literally becomes your adversary. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." And here's the good part here. "For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." Peter says that God resisteth the proud. And that means that God stands and brings the whole universe against the proud man. That man has God for an adversary. It provokes deity. It provokes deity. If you didn't think pride was a serious sin, you need to think about it again. Now, the second thing I want you to say about pride is it proves depravity. Now, some people think that they're not sinners because they don't cuss, they don't chew, and they don't go out with girls that do. Now, I bet it's been a while since you heard that one, right? But some of you are old enough to have heard that before. Yeah, some of you are old enough to have heard that before. And they say, well, I'm all right. I don't do this. I don't steal. I don't kill. I don't lie. And I don't murder. But they have a sin that is worse than all of that. And that is pride that is in their heart. Go back to chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. I mean, this too is saying that it can just be in your heart, nowhere else. It never has to reach the hands or the feet. That pride in your heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 21:4 says, and high look, and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. That's a strange combination. What do those three things have to do with you? A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. What could those three things have to do with one another? Well, you take a farmer who does not acknowledge God because he thinks he is self-sufficient. He doesn't need God. And so he goes out and he plows his field. Well, certainly he's not robbing a bank. He's not committing adultery. He's not practicing sodomy. He's not beating up on his neighbor. He's just plowing the field. But the Bible says that the plowing of the field, or the plowing of the wicked, is sin. Why? Because he has a proud heart. And because he has a proud heart, everything that he touches, he contaminates. You see, the man, the farmer, that does not acknowledge that the soil has come from God, that the farmer that does not acknowledge that the rain, the sun, all come from God, the farmer that does not acknowledge that God, that it is God that causes that seed to grow and that he is absolutely, utterly dependent upon God, is a proud man. And so even when he plows his field, he sins. See, there are so many proud people. And their greatest need is to see their need. They don't realize that when God looks at a man, God doesn't look as other men look. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. But where does the Lord look? The Lord looketh on the heart. And it is that pride in the heart that proves depravity. And how did that pride get into that heart? Now, let me tell you something that I found out this week. And I probably heard this at some other time, but I've totally forgotten all this and so forth. And you may know it. Some of you guys may be a lot smarter than I am. And you, well, not maybe. There are a lot of you that are a lot smarter than I am. So did you know that if you have an apple, and you look at that apple, and that apple has a wormhole in it, you might think, uh-oh, I better be careful because there's a worm in that apple. Let me tell you, no, there's no worm in that apple. That hole is not there so the worm could get in. That hole is there so the worm could get out. The worm did not bore into that apple. The worm bored his way out of that apple. The worm was already in the apple. And you say, now, wait a minute, Brother Keith. How in the world did that worm get into the apple? Well, it was born in the apple. It was hatched in the apple. Well, how did that happen? Well, because the egg was laid in the apple blossom. And the apple blossom became an apple. And that worm was on the inside, and it eats its way out of that apple. And the pride that is in your heart is there because it was born in your heart. And you see, it's what's in your heart. When the worm of pride comes to the surface, the worm was already there in your heart. And you see, Jesus said in Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning about verse 18, that it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's not the worm that bores into him. It's what comes out of a man that defiles him. And Jesus said, for out of the heart proceeds pride. In Mark 7, 18 through 23. So we're all born as children of Adam and Eve with a predisposition to sin. We're all born egotists, which is just another word for pride and sin. We're all born self-centered. Now, if you give a little child a sack full of candy, more candy than that child can eat, and then you say, now that I've given you that candy, can I have a piece? Well, more than likely, as a young child, he's going to say, it's my candy, right? Isn't that right? I mean, that's the selfishness of a little child. And when you were a little child, there in the nursery, something like this may have happened to you. You were surrounded with 15 toys. You got toys all over your floor, all over the place, right? And you're just playing with one of them, not caring at all about any of those other toys. And then somebody comes to visit, and they put another baby on the floor in that room with you. And that guy and that baby, he walks over there, and he grabs one of your toys and picks it up. Even if you weren't playing with it, what do? You leave that one toy you were playing with on the floor, and you walk, go over there to that other toy, and you bop him on the head with that toy, and you take it away from him because you did not want him to have that toy. You wanted them all for yourself, right? And that's just as a little child. You see, pride is born in the heart of a man. It's just like that worm in the heart of that apple, and it just comes to the surface. And it proves our depravity. And there's not a mother's child, there's not a person who is not born egocentric. It's not something we learn, it's something we inherit. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. Not a person has ever taught a child to be selfish. You have to teach a child not to be selfish. Isn't that true? Right? Anybody who's ever raised children, you have to teach that child not to be selfish. Because by nature, we are selfish. We are egocentric. By nature, we all come into this world wanting to be our own little God, sitting upon the throne of our own little lives, worshiping at the shrine of our own ego. So why does God hate pride so much? Because pride says to God, God, I don't need you. I can do it all by myself. Pride is the basic sin. It is the sin that leads to all other sin. It is the sin of independence against God. It is wrapped up in not believing God. And countless people will spend eternity in hell because they shook their fist in the face of God and said, God, I don't need you. And then God's going to turn his back on them and say, as you wish. As you wish. Next week, we're going to finish this discussion on why God hates pride. And then we're going to cover what we can do about it in our lives. What we can do about it. Amen? Amen. Amen.